Hey, you, is your league rocking that same tired fantasy trophy they gave out to millennials like Grandma's Butterscotch? Trophy Smack destroys the competition! Finally, there is a unique and customizable fantasy sports trophy to represent your hard-earned victory. With Trophy Smack Swap Top, you have the ability to change the trophy top every year. The league winner keeps their topper and plaque to remind them of what it takes to be number one. We also sell rings, championship belts, and gift cards. Still not sold on Trophy Smack? Take a real customer's word for it.
It's clearly the best trophy on the planet. I bought the Trump topper and wow, doesn't that topper look like a winner?
Oh, I almost forgot. Last year in my fantasy league with UPS, I won a bet for free lifetime shipping. So, you're welcome for that. Take your fantasy smack talk to the next level. Visit TrophySmack.com to buy your trophy today.
What's up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Hey, welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. Thank you for joining us on YouTube and Periscope. If you're tuning in live, boom, hit us with comments, hit us with questions. We will answer them as best we can here on the show. And if you're not watching, you should be every Sunday night, but hopefully you're downloading and listening to this podcast. You're leaving iTunes reviews and you're saying, you know what? This trio is the greatest trio in all of the Dynasty football land. It's me, Doug. I'm here with Tim. And I'm also here with Tyler. We've got a great show ahead. We are going to cover some stats and stuff, which we always do every week. We got some fun stuff involved there. We've got some fantasy news. And then the bulk of the show is really going to be about planning for a fantasy season with COVID-19. I think this is important because as much as we all want a fantasy season to take place and not be interrupted, I think it's, we'd be remiss not to say like, all right, what if it does happen? The season starts and then players get sick, players go on IR, like the season stops. Like if you're a commissioner, what do you do? What do you do as a player? How do you approach your teams? Like there's a lot of different moving parts and we're going to cover all of them in this week's show. I want to say hi to Tim and hi to Tyler. Tim, how you doing this evening? You looking beautiful, young man.
I feel a lot worse than I look. We moved into the new house a few weeks ago, and I spent all week. There's a large, large shed in the backyard.
Cleaning up the blood?
No blood, not yet. I've taken that large shed. I built three stalls in it, and this morning we went and picked up three goats and a pig. So, nice. I'm Farmer Tim now, I guess. I don't know. I grew up in a city. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. But the wife and kids want some animals, so here we go.
So you just decided pigs and goat. You know, hey, let's get an animal. You know what? Hold the phone. I know a goat. I know a goat guy. So let's go.
The wife has wanted pigs for as long as I can remember. And the school year's ended, but my oldest daughter's Spanish teacher like sent a message out to all our students. Hey, I have a friend who's getting rid of some goats, if anybody's interested. And so my daughter immediately goes, Mom, hey, Mom, look, goats. And she's like, oh, we should get these goats. They're little tiny mini goats. The little one's really cute. The mom's pretty cute.
The little goats are super cute.
So we go to look at these goats probably a week ago. And there was a pig there. And the lady that's giving away the goats or selling the goats, whatever it was, says, I also have this pig. And I look at my wife and I'm like, absolutely, getting the pig. She's about 5 years old. Her name's Wilma. She's a full-grown potbelly. So she's about 150 pounds. She doesn't put up with the goat's trash. She lets him have it. And that one's mine. Wilma's mine. She's smart as hell.
Pigs are very smart animals.
So,
And they also taste amazing.
I was going to say, and you know.
If she gets a little older and looks like she's going
to
go away.
If you're going to have a pig roast, I expect my phone to ring and be like, yo, Doug, come out to PA.
I don't get attached to things too easily. So Wilma, I'll love you until it's time to not love you anymore, and then I'm sure you'll taste just great.
Absolutely. Tyler, what's new up in the Minnesota?
Oh, nothing. You know, same old, busy as always, dealing with this COVID stuff. I've been to the doctor more times than I should be. I had to get my plasma checked, which I could have been like superhuman to the COVID because I had a false positive and it came up negative. So I have not had it yet, but there was a call there where I actually could have been able to donate my plasma. I was kind of disappointed, to be honest, because I'm like, I could help, you know, in the fight, but no negative.
Gotcha. I heard people with red hair don't really get it. So
yeah, we just get burnt.
The COVID's like, ew. Red.
Yeah,
I was it was 94 degrees here in Rhode Island today, and I was outside, no sunscreen today, in the pool. Luckily, I have a nice crispy brown. I'm not really burnt yet, so if I can't tone it, I'll tan it. That's my theory. I just started getting back to the gym, so I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna look better with, you know, a little bit.
I mean, we can't tell. So we need to start like a GoFundMe to get you a damn lamp at least in your room.
The lighting that, well, here's the thing. The lighting in this room isn't the greatest. There's one lamp ahead of me. It has two bulbs in it. They're LED.
You need to bring up the Kelvins.
The Kelvin scale. Yeah, we'll see. Maybe GoFundMe to get me like a floor lamp or something. I don't know.
Hashtag light up Doug.
Let's light up Doug.
Light me up. Well, I'll tell you what, guys, I'm excited this week, not only because we get to sit and chat and talk about football, but we have our sponsor, which we've had for a while, in Dynasty Owner, but we have a new sponsor, which we'll talk about in a little while. But first, we are brought to you this week partially by Dynasty Owner. I've been looking for a new challenge, which is why I'm playing Dynasty Owner Fantasy Football this season. Dynasty Owner Fantasy Football unites the fun and excitement of fantasy football with the skill and strategy of the front office. Dynasty Owner is the only way to play fantasy football with real NFL salaries, adding the strategy of running an NFL franchise. And Dynasty Owner provides a unique challenge for diehard fantasy football fanatics. Go to www.dynastyowner.com/DHH. Leagues are forming at this moment. That's dynastyowner.com/DHH. We've all been in a league where the winner just got lucky. If you're like me and you know better than most, Dynasty Owner gives you the platform to prove it. Dynasty Owner favors skilled players who can manage their roster using real NFL salaries within the salary cap. It adds an entirely new level of strategy. So once again, go to dynastyowner.com/DHHH. Validate your fantasy football skills. If you haven't heard it before, it's dynastyowner.com/DHHH. Dynasty Owner, start your dynasty. Not yesterday, not tomorrow. Do it today. You heard it here first. Let's go. All right, so we do have some news. We had a big signing. It was franchise tag week, so we're going to talk about a couple of those players that either got tagged and signed an extension or just got tagged and it's business as usual. Really, the only player to sign a long-term deal of fantasy, any kind of fantasy relevance, was Derrick Henry. So he signed a four-year, $50 million deal, $25.5 million guaranteed. I think this kind of sets the bar for the Dalvin Cooks of the world, which are coming up on free agents, the Joe Mixons of the world. You know, it kind of should put them in similar situations from a pay scale, I would think, for those guys to get paid after the season. So my question for you guys is, does this stability raise him in your dynasty ranks, Tim?
If you look at the contract, I think it's pretty much a two-year deal for the team after what? The 2022 season, the Titans can get away without too much of a cap hit. So I think for the short term, if we're talking this next 1 to 2 years, that yes, Derrick Henry should be a running back. You should be targeting. You know, I think that the Titans will more than likely fall somewhere between what you saw in the regular season from them and what you saw in the playoffs from them, where Derrick Henry just, I mean, he set records for the amount of touches he was getting in playoff games. But he did have 302 carries, I want to say, last year. It's coming off the top of my head. I might be a little bit off there. But a guy that has that many carries, you want to be a little bit cautious with. But the Titans seem to enjoy his company, and they've paid a decent price to keep him around. So if the Titans are going to invest $25 million guaranteed in a player, I'm willing to bet that at least for the next 2 years, he's going to continue to see the ball at a very high rate And we've seen what he can do when he gets those opportunities.
So my question to you, Tyler, same question, obviously, does this ability raise him in your dynasty ranks? But also, I know you're a big Darrington Evans guy. So is this kind of like, you know, I think the Darrington Evans people were like, all right, if Derrick Henry leaves, then maybe Darrington Evans can be the guy. I never really thought that because I don't think Darrington Evans can be that guy. But what are your thoughts on the stability and what are your thoughts on Darrington Evans going forward, Tyler?
I still like him. I think he's a fine third down back. Derrick Henry had, what, 18 catches last year? If that.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot.
Yeah, it's not much. And I think they're going to want to use the running back in that aspect as well. And Darrington Evans was the third round pick. They're not just going to kind of throw him off and be like, no, we don't need
unless
you anymore.
Unless his name is Damian Harris.
Yeah, that's very true. And the coach is Bill Belichick, which it's close. Darrington starts with a D. Vrabel.
Damian.
Vrabel was.
Played for Belichick.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Mm. We're having a
dots here.
We're connecting the dots.
We're having a national. We're having a national treasure moment right here. All we're missing is Nick Cage. But no,
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, Darrington Evans, I still think is fine. He'll get his touches. I think he'll get catches. He'll easily have more catches than Derrick Henry. I think they'll have specific plays for him. But Derrick Henry is going to run the ball a ton. Does he go up in my rankings? I was never a Henry guy. And it's always been hard for me to rank him because he doesn't catch the ball. I mean, and people knock Nick Chubb for that, but I think Nick Chubb is a better pure runner than Derrick Henry from the eye test. So for me, I don't know. I'd maybe bump up a few spots, but I'm pretty sure he'd probably stay where he is.
Yeah, I mean, I think with my internal rankings, I don't rank for the site anymore, but I would say that I wouldn't really bump Henry up too much. I think he would have a similar role no matter what team he went to, and it would just be a matter of, like, the offense. So that offensive line is pretty strong with Tennessee, their run-first offense. I feel if Derrick Henry were to move on in free agency, he would only go to a team that was going to be something similar. Maybe he would have replaced Dalvin Cook in Minnesota type of thing. Like, that would have been, like, the kind of move that I think Derrick Henry would have made if he was a free agent. But so I don't see this really bumping him up too much in my personal rankings. So next bit of news is also about another franchised player. It's A.J. Green. He signed his franchise tender, and he says he will show up to camp on time. Fingers crossed. So what I want to know is, how should we view A.J. Green for 2020? Is he a wide receiver too? Is he a flex option with immense upside? Tyler, how are you viewing A.J. Green in 2020 with that new quarterback, Joe Burrow?
That's the thing, is I think he might struggle right off the bat. You know, Joe Burrow's a rookie. He's not going to have that time to connect with A.J. Green. I know there's rumors that they have been working together, you know, behind closed doors. So that could help. But it's going to take a little while for connection. Andy Dalton and A.J. Green came in together, in the league together. They had an instant connection. They worked constantly, it seemed, in the offseason. So they had more of a connection. Andy Dalton just threw it up to A.J. Green and said, okay, dude, here you go. That was when A.J. Green was in his prime. He's had multiple lower body injuries. Who knows how much oomph he's got left. So I want to see it. I think he could be a viable wide receiver 3 for your team. But other than that, if you're expecting him to be a high-end wide receiver 2, I think you're going to be very disappointed.
Mm-hmm. What are you, Tim, if you're trying to go out and acquire A.J. Green on a win-now team, what do you think, a mid-second?
On a win-now? If I'm in that window, yeah. I'd say my second round pick, if I'm going to win now, because I'm looking at probably
going to be a late
2-8 or 2-8 or later, would be my opinion there. But yeah, I would say I completely agree with Tyler. I was thinking he would go with the a wide receiver 2 pick there, but it's a wide receiver 3 with the upside of the flex position, hoping he has some boom weeks, because, you know, it's not a brand new offense, but he didn't play much with this offense last year. Brand new quarterback. We haven't seen him in a while, so hopefully that you know, they can get A.J. Green acclimated and in here with this offense and with this quarterback and coaching staff, and I don't expect him to be what he used to be, obviously, at this age. But if he's 75% or better of that, then yeah,
still
I
be
think
pretty good.
That wide receiver flex spot's probably a solid pick for him.
Yep, I agree with both of you, gentlemen. So now is the section of the show where Tyler, you have to look out for Tyler because he might get poked in the eye. So Rojo has added 6 to 8 pounds of muscle. Is that a good thing, a bad thing? I don't know. We'll talk about it. He weighed 205 when he entered the league as a second-round pick in 2018. He weighed 218 pounds last season, and now he's reportedly at 225. Does this matter at all? Like, any thoughts on this potentially helping his pass protection? And is that his biggest red flag? Like, I'm going to go to Tyler on this one, Tim, because Tyler is one of the original Rojo stands. So I want to hear Tyler's opinion on the adding muscle, because we've seen that work with some players, but it seems like it hasn't worked with a lot of players too. So Tyler, I want your spin on this one. Do you think it helps with pass pro? Do you think that's even his biggest problem? Like, give me your assessment on this Rojo news and what you think.
Man, 225 is pretty heavy for what you saw from Rojo at USC. Now, my first thought was Melvin Gordon in Wisconsin was a very speedy back. He was very agile, and he could beat anybody in a foot race. And Melvin Gordon,
he still skipped leg day back then.
Yeah, and Melvin Gordon, you know, he worked with AP, and it seemed like his upper body became massive. He gained some weight. It reminds me a lot of that. Melvin Gordon is no longer this speedster back. He's more of a finesse type guy, a guy that catches the ball, gets, you know, 4 yards per carry or under. It just kind of eats away at it, and it doesn't seem like he breaks too many big plays. You know what I mean with Melvin Gordon? Mm-hmm. Like, you kind of expected more from his college tape. And Rojo, that's kind of what it reminds me of, is Rojo's going down that path of somebody who just is becoming a different running back, and I'm not sure if I like it. Mm-hmm. I think he's trying to change himself too much from what he was in college. And when that happens, I'm usually more skeptical. And with Rojo, I'm becoming more skeptical. And, I mean, he's saying his hands are better. Did his hands gain weight too? Like, does that help you catch the ball? I'm not maybe quite sure.
Maybe they grew stronger because they're more muscular.
That could be. But Keyshawn Vaughn is a phenomenal pass catcher. So I think despite him getting his hands better, I think Keyshawn Vaughn's probably got that role, you know, tucked in his pocket. Rojo will probably play that Sony Michel role.
Don't forget Dare.
I have.
Ungbawale.
I have. But Rojo is going, he's got the first and second down down backs. But his price in redraft right now, I know this is a Dynasty podcast, but his price in redraft is pretty reasonable. And
even
I honestly that, think
I'll tell you what. Even his price, not to cut you off, but even his price in Dynasty. So in the offseason, I picked up Keyshawn Vaughn in Capitalist Pigs 2. It was like the only rookie that I won because the price wasn't terrible. And I needed running back help. So I went out and acquired Rojo, and I gave up Nyheim Hines in like a fourth round pick, which is the equivalent of like $15 to get Rojo. And I thought that was like me making out big because I'm not a big Hines guy. So now I've got Tampa Bay's backfield locked up. But if that's all you got to pay to get Rojo is Nyheim Hines and maybe another player or a pick or a little bit of cash, like, I'm all for that.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. His price is really good. And for a guy who, I mean, if I'm going to project him at anything, 900 yards, 8 touchdowns, I mean, that's a pretty good price for a guy you could probably spot start in matchups and all that. So,
and
I mean,
he's
not invaluable. He's not invaluable. I just don't know if I like the route he's going with his career.
Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on Rojo, Tim?
Well, let me take you back to 2015 when a running back named Bishop Sankey was putting on some weight for the Tennessee Titans, going from reportedly about 209 to about the 220 range. How'd that work out? You know,
how good was he when he was 209 though?
how good has Rojo been? Not very.
Hurt.
I've never been the world's biggest Rojo fan to begin with. Pre-draft, I thought that Keyshawn Vaughn was better than people thought he was. And then he landed in Tampa, and I was like, yay, I'm happy. And then his stock price just
shot up.
Soared to
first
a
round.
Spot where I'm like, ow, I don't know if I like that. So I kind of backed off of him a little bit. But I think given a year or two that my guy Keyshawn could take the lead role in this backfield from Rojo, I do think especially to start the season, and we'll kind of get into these reasons here a little bit later why, that Keyshawn Vaughn's going to kind of play that second fiddle at least to start the season. And I agree with Doug. Yeah, again, not a big Rojo fan, but because of the Keyshawn Vaughn acquisition, his stock going up, it kind of forced other stock prices down for Rojo, and I was buying this offseason.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Yeah, like once I knew that price, I floated that offer out there. I was like, oh, okay, this isn't as bad as I thought it would be. Last bit of news, mm-hmm. unfortunate news. We had Calvin Harmon tear his ACL of the not yet named Washington football team. Real quick, before we go into Calvin Harmon, Tim, if you could pick a name for the Washington football team, what would it be? You got to have a favorite.
I really do like the Red Tails, you know, the history behind the name, especially with everything that's going on. I don't think we need to pick a name for a football team based off of any sort of political statements or anything like that. But it doesn't hurt that with what's going on right now in this country, a name like the Red Tails is
great movie too
for that Washington team.
Yeah, Tyler, do you have a favorite in the clubhouse?
Oh God, Red Wolves! I think it was that. I love the jerseys. The jersey was great. Great job on the people picking up that trademark and copyright before Washington could snag it.
From Alexandria, yeah. Ooh,
that was phenomenal. Now they're gonna have to pay up. That dude is going to be filthy rich.
Smart move.
Filthy rich. Smart move. Because I think that's what they're gonna go with.
Yeah, we've got, Russell Mavis says Red Wolves too. I like the Red Wolves as well. I think, you know, we've got the Timberwolves in Minnesota, but other than that, there's really not many other wolf. And a wolf is a badass animal, let's be honest. We all love
NC
dogs,
State.
Right? Yeah, the wolf pack. Mm-hmm. There's a whole pack of them. Yeah. There's not just one.
Wolf pack.
The wolf pack. I mean,
wolves
it's not
are
like
fun to watch. Wolves are fun to watch when they're in cages, like at the zoo. Well, I don't like watching them in, like, it's wrong that they're in cages.
Have you seen that Liam Neeson movie with wolves?
Just way to backpedal.
Yes. But I know, I had an extra. In today's economy, you got to backpedal as quick as you can. You got to remember that, Tim. But no, the wolves are awesome. Like, they're like gigantic dogs. And just watching them play, like, we have a zoo really close to us, and that's my daughter's favorite place to watch. She loves just sitting and watching them when they're, you know, when they're up and about walking. But yeah, I mean, massive, massive animals.
Tim, any desire to add a wolf to the farm? Yeah, you got some farm defense going on.
No wolves. All right. I've always wanted to wrestle a bear. Declaw a bear and let me have a
shot. Good thing is if you had a wolf, you wouldn't have to worry about the three goats and pig.
Yeah, that's true. but after he eats those, he's going to want more food. And
that's true.
Pigs, so then I'm out there fighting a wolf.
That's true. All right, so let's talk about Calvin Harmon. He was in line to possibly get the second most targets in the Washington Redskins passing game. We all know Terry McLaurin, who's amazing. Was going to be the target hog there. We've got Steven Sims, who a lot of people like. They drafted Gandy. They drafted Antonio Gandy Golden. There's really not out there pass catchers. We don't know who's going to be the tight end. Is it Jeremy Sprinkle? Is it Thaddeus Moss? Is it Logan Thomas, the former quarterback? Like, there's a lot of question marks with this Washington pass catching.
Logan Thomas is still in the league. I remember when he was supposed to be a good quarterback.
Yeah, now he might be their starting tight end. Who knows? Obviously, they draft Antonio Gibson, who is right now officially a running back. Do they move him to wide receiver? Who knows? So, Tim, who do you think this helps the most with them losing Calvin Harmon? Whose stock goes up here?
We just got Dingus in the chat here saying the Gandy man, and I have to agree with that.
I don't know if I like that. That sounds very weird to me. Hey, Gandy man.
I don't think there's a ton of talent outside of Terry. And unless one of these running backs, I don't really remember Darius Geis' game revolving around receptions that much. I mean, he's a great running back.
Well, that LSU offense
never been a pass catcher.
Yeah.
Bryce Love? AP's just never caught the ball. Chris Thompson's gone.
Bryce Love?
Maybe Bryce Love, but
Antonio
they got
Gibson.
JD McBisquick too.
Antonio Gibson is the man. If they're gonna use a pass catcher, yeah.
Yeah, I heard Terrell Pryor is trying to get back into the league. Maybe he wants a reunion. Maybe they sign EB.
I think at the receiver position, it has to be Antonio Golden Gandy that's going to get the bump here. It's just going to be a rough start for the Washington football team, being AJG is a rookie.
Yep.
I disagree.
But at least he already had COVID, so that's good.
I'm with Sims. I mean, how many Sims have we had? As much as the computer game? So we're at like five.
We had Charles Sims.
There's been like five Sims in the NFL. As much as there has
Billy
been.
Billy Sims? He was a really good running back back in the day.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm going to have to say Antonio Gibson. A dingus in the chat says he's special with the ball in hands. That's what I saw. Dude is like 225, 6 foot.
We're going to talk about something else that's special with the balls in the hands here.
That is true. Bit. Good transition.
A little bit. That's why I'm good at what I do. Humble brag. Oh! Yes, I think Antonio. It's going to be interesting to see how they deploy Gibson in that offense, and who is going to be their pass catcher? Is it going to be J.D. McKissick? Is it going to be Bryce Love? Like
Darius Geis's quad,
which looks like is the size of my bicep, which isn't really.
Yeah,
but it's the size of his own bicep. It's amazing. Darius Geis for life. So let's get into some stats and stuff here because it's time. So I'm going to give you the info for the two mystery players. Either of you guys will have to decide which player you prefer. If you think you know, you can also guess the players after everyone else has answered. I'll reveal at the end who they are and their ADPs. Are you boys ready to play?
Always.
Go ahead.
Lego. So player A, this soon-to-be 23-year-old, averaged just under 19 touches per game from week 8 to 17 last season. And during that time span, weeks 8 to 17, this player was RB21. This player had just over 150 carries last year and had a 5.1 yards per carry. Let's go to player B. This soon to be 25-year-old has had weird efficiency of his career. That might be a typo. Efficiency in his career in 2019 with only 3.3 yards per carry. Ugh. And 5.8 yards per reception. But they had 4.5 and 10.2 respectively in 2018. Despite this inefficiency, this player still finished as RB27 in 2019, just out of the RB2 range. This player has never had less than 53 receptions in any of his three NFL seasons. So the first question I'm going to go to you, Tim, is which player would you rather have? Player A or player B?
How old was player A?
Player A is 23. Soon to be 23.
I think I know who they are, but you can go ahead,
okay,
Tim.
Okay, well.
I'll take player A in the youth here.
Okay.
The 5.1 yards per carry is what attracts me. The other guy, 3.3, is not good. I don't really have a lead on either player too.
Okay.
So I couldn't even tell you like what kind of offensive lines are behind.
I mean, I'll take Devin Singletary as well.
Yes, player A is Devin Singletary. Do either of you guys have a guess as to who player B is?
Tariq Cohen? That's my guess.
Oh, look at Tyler.
Woo!
Oh, Tyler, wow. Absolutely drilling it out of the park.
Oh, so, the catches, the Neverland, whatever. What was
I feel,
it?
53. I feel wicked smart.
Yeah. Wicked smart kid. So Devin Good Singletary's job. DLF ADP is currently RB27, which we've seen that fall a little bit since they drafted Zach Moss. And then player B is Tariq Cohen, and his DLF ADP is RB36. Now, I am a Tariq Cohen owner in the Scott Fishbowl. I got him super late, and I like his upside. A sneaky 79 catches last year. Had some problems running in between the tackles. I actually did some research on Tariq Cohen, read some interviews that he's done, and he knows that he needs to be more of a north-south runner and not as much east-west, and that he did play injured last year, and towards the end of the season, he started to wear down. So he's been working this offseason to help prevent that this year. And he is going into a free agency year. So I think Tariq Cohen is an interesting buy in Dynasty. If you're a win now team and you're looking for a solid flex play, I think you can get Tariq Cohen pretty inexpensively. And I think he's probably going to see 75 receptions again. I mean, it's just him and David Montgomery in that backfield, right? And then with Singletary, we've seen his stock slip a little bit because they did draft Zach Moss, so that kind of took a little bit of the shine off the apple. So I know you're a big Singletary guy, Tyler.
Yeah.
Did them drafting Zach Moss, who you absolutely do not like, or at one point didn't like at all, you know, do you think that that affects Singletary in a big bad way? Are you still buying Devin Singletary at his ADP?
Oh, I'm still going to buy. I mean, Moss is going to take some goal line carries away. Even
so
though,
is Josh Allen.
Well, yeah. I mean, the new Cam Newton, even though you shouldn't compare him to Cam Newton. I don't know. But no, Singletary is a very talented running back. Very, very talented. He showed it on the field, and yet people still doubt him. I don't get that. He played very well. He's efficient. I think that he's going to take another step. He learned from Frank Gore, and Frank Gore even said midseason, you know, he reminds me of me when I was younger, a guy that just wanted to be better, wanted to get better.
50 years ago when I started.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back in 1932 when I was a rookie.
Did you see that tweet this week? How Frank Gore was like, why you got to do me like that? Like, they tweeted some like old-timey running back, and it's like, oh, happy birthday to when Frank Gore was first in the league, and he retweeted it. It was actually pretty funny.
Didn't see that.
No,
that was funny.
Singletary is very talented, and it's funny because I was not on Singletary for his tape, and then I saw his first game in the NFL, and I said I was wrong. Like when he got more touches, I said I was wrong. This guy is very talented. When I first watched him on the NFL field, I was sold. That's why I bought him a lot in midseason last year before he came back healthy, and he tore it up. So give me Singletary. With that Moss discount, Moss will get touchdowns. I think Moss will be around 600 yards, probably like 7 touchdowns. But I do think Singletary's going to get that pass catching role, and he's going to get majority of touches.
Yeah. Well, that was a fun little game of stats and stuff. I would probably pick player A as well if the choice were given to me. And I do like Tariq Cohen as a buy low candidate here in Dynasty.
Oh, so, yeah.
For sure. Especially the opportunities, like I said, are there. So, so yes, now we are here to bring you our second sponsor, first time sponsor of Dynasty Happy Hour. So support for Dynasty Happy Hour is brought to you by Manscaped. Who is the best in men's below the belt grooming? Oh yes. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels. And it rhymes, and I'm so on time. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. So I can tell you probably the most horrifying story I've ever had with grooming is I like to keep it trimmed down there, and sometimes you use your, you know, you use your razor that you use on your face. Now always use it on your face first. That's the rule, and then down below after, just, you know,
not vice versa. Don't use
the same way. The same way you wash your face first, and then you wash down there, not reverse. If you've ever used like a fresh razor on your face and it feels great, and then you go down there and you're kind of just going around, and if you've ever nicked yourself down there, it bleeds like a mother. So it's better to use
artery.
A tool.
I mean,
it is a very vascular area. So you have to be really super careful. And Manscaped is going to give you that confidence where you can take care of it. You don't have to worry about nicking anything. You don't have to worry about like, oh, now I'm a bloody mess. Like, this isn't fun. And that's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The Manscaped engineering team spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created and just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. Their third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce manscaping accidents thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin safe technology. Say that 10 times fast. When I tell you this is premium, I mean it's absolutely the best in the business. The battery will last up to 90 minutes. So you can take a longer shave. Maybe it's been a while. Maybe you're Rip Van Winkle, and you're like, and your wife is like, "Bruh, I know COVID-19 is going on, and that's not an excuse not to shave your downstairs." But it'll go 90 minutes if you need it, or maybe you know you're gonna have a shave party. Whatever you're into, that's cool too. The water resistant technology allows you to groom in the shower. So if you want to multitask, boom, boom, quick cleanup, watch it go down the drain. Totally get that. One of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming. So maybe you want to set the mood, turn the lights down low. Maybe you want to hand the razor over to your loved one and say, hey, have at it, babe. No. Now she can see what's going on. You've got mood lighting. Oh, win-win. Yep. So they've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. Now, Tim, I imagine you just coining that quiet stroke. It seems like something you would think of.
Oh, I know about the quiet stroke.
Yes, you did live in that house for a while by yourself. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show your mower off loud and proud, because this intelligently designed stand is a convenient charging dock. One of our favorite words in this part is dock. Powered by USB. Now, if you're listening to me speak right now, first of all, thank you. I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself. Trim that junk of yours. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code DHH at manscaped.com. You know who's going to thank you? Your balls will thank you. So now let's get into the news. So we want to talk this week about talking fantasy football in a COVID world. I said it here a few weeks ago. I've said it on my other podcast, Trophy Time. I'm super skeptical about what's going to go on this season. As much as I, in my heart of hearts, I want the season to kick off. There be no interruption. No players get sick. It's a perfect world, just like it was last year. We just have to be realistic and say, you know what? That's not the world we live in 2020. How do we prepare ourselves for when a player that you have on your roster gets COVID? What does that look like? What does it look like when the league shuts down for an amount of time? Like what's going on with NHL and NBA and MLB, who are finally just starting to come back now? You know, there's going to be a lot of interesting things here. And I, you know, I want to talk a little bit about from like a team owner standpoint, as well as a commissioner standpoint. So Tyler, I'm going to go to you first from a commissioner lens, because you're a commissioner in a few different leagues. So when you're looking at like, all right, all this information is in front of me, COVID-19, you know, it's not slowing down really. There's hot spots all over the place. You know, what is it going to look like? What do I need to do as a commissioner to help me prepare my league in the best way possible for when the season does start? But what are the things I'm trying to plan to get me prepped as a commissioner to make sure that all of my owners are sorted out and we're not making up stuff on the fly?
So my first thought was, depending on the league, like Doug, we are in a contract salary league, and I straight up said, hey, if there's no season, everything's staying the same. Salaries aren't moving. Contracts aren't going down 1 year after the season. We'll just transfer them over. So that was my first thought. And then second thought was, if there's no season, there will be no buy-in. So the season's just pretty much going to get skipped. I'll still have tradings open and all that. You can still trade picks and players. I don't care. Let's keep that rolling. Let's keep some movement in the league going, because you don't want a league to kind of die off because there's going to be a lot of leagues, if there is no football, that just disappear, because if there's nothing going on, especially in a home league, that if there's not even, you know, there's not much going on anyways. I mean,
you have those guys that disappear over the summer normally anyways, and now they have just 24 months.
Yeah, it could be a lot of orphans, for sure.
Yes, orphans. There's going to be a lot of leagues dispersing. It's going to be crazy if there's no football. And say, you know, 3 weeks in there, the season stops. It's going to be the same rule. I mean, if the season ends 3 weeks in, you're reimbursed your money. There's going to be, unless you talk to your owners, you could be like, hey, let's roll this into next year and have a big pot. You know what I mean? Like, say, hey, or hey, let's take that money. Let's go to trophysmack.com. Let's use code DHHRING. Let's get a big trophy. Let's get a free ring. You could go
if
that route.
If we have
route.
Any leftover, we buy one of them lawnmower 3.0s and we have one of those shave parties Doug told us about.
Boom.
Yeah, buddy. Thanks. Tyler, I got a question for you. Have you thought about, because I actually had this come up in the home league that I run, which is a similar contract league and salary cap. What do you do about the draft order if there's no season? You can't have it the same as you did the year before. That's not fair.
It's tempting, but I'd probably do a lottery with the same order. You know, there's sites where you can actually do a lottery, and the worst team has a greater chance of getting it. And you can actually decide how many, you know, like the NBA style, like there's balls. 25 balls for this team. You can decide that. I'd probably
Tyler's
go that
route. Frozen envelope himself into the 101.
Yeah.
If you know anything about NBA history, you understand the frozen envelope reference. And Tyler, don't play in a league with Tyler. He's going to frozen envelope himself.
But no, I would probably
Patrick
go that.
Ewing.
I would go that route, and I think that's the smartest route, because even if the worst team, you know, does get better, if the worst team was bad, I mean, there's a hard chance he's going to be top four next year. So I think he still deserves a greater chance of being in the top three, which that's where I'd kind of circulate the picks around. If I want to give the most balls to a team, it'd be the top three or the bottom three from last season. And they probably deserve the earlier picks more. I mean, I know that means Trevor Lawrence, and everybody's going to try to like tank for Trevor. This could stop a lot of people kind of tanking for Trevor.
Mm-hmm. That's something we have to kind of talk about. Let's say they get the season off. You would have to think that it at any point, at any moment, they could just say, too many players are getting sick, we got to cut the season. How do you play the season out? Because not every league is going to go the same way that Tyler's talking about. They might go off, hey, we played 5 weeks. These are standing after 5 weeks. We'll go in reverse order of these standings. Mm-hmm. You know, you have those teams that start off 4-1 and miss the playoffs. You have those teams that start 1-4, make a pretty sweet deal or make a waiver wire pickup, and they roll right into the playoffs and you know, then they hope to go on a run, but whatever. And then you have those teams that are just kind of stuck in the middle. So how would you guys go about playing the season? If it goes off the board, how you going about it? You going all in?
No,
if you think you're close?
I mean, so you're saying that if the season were to end, how would you go?
The season starts next Sunday, let's say.
Okay.
But we, in this current climate, literally, it could go 1 week and they'll be like, we tried. Literally, we had 75 players get sick the first week we tried this. We have to shut it down before everybody gets deathly ill, coaches, family members, all that good stuff. Or it could go 10 weeks and they shut it down. Like, so if the season starts next week, you're in a team that, you know, was just barely in the playoffs or made a deep playoff run last year. Are you selling out to try to get it done if you're in a league that says, hey, if it's 4 weeks or more, we'll go off the final points four standings and that'll be our champ?
I'm probably going to go youth heavy. I mean, I think with the way everything has gone, I'm going to stay away from the AJ Green trades. I'm going to stay away from the Tom Brady trades, the Drew Brees trades. I'm going to avoid those guys like Aaron Rodgers. And I'm going to go for the youth people. So players like Drew Lock, who, you know, say the season only goes three games, he's still going to be the starter next year. You know, even
what's going to be awesome about a guy like Drew Lock, if the season only goes 3-4 weeks and he looks kind of meh, iffy.
Yeah.
Guess what? It's 3 or 4 weeks of him with all these new fancy toys. Guess what? They probably weren't in sync. So if that's when there's going to be buying windows. So if you thought that Drew Lock was going to have a good season this year and it looked like, hey, he didn't look so great, he's going to have a whole nother offseason with these guys.
Yeah. I think the tricky thing is if there's going to be, like, say they play 3 or 4 games, and I think they'll eventually pick it back up again, just like the NBA has done. Obviously, here's the thing. I think the NFL is going to be very interesting to watch because it feels to me that, like, they're just going to do what they want to do no matter what. And if players get sick, so be it. But they're so stuck on their timelines and starting when they're going to start and making sure that things don't they're going to try to keep it as normal as possible and just be completely stubborn about it. You know, and there is a growing concern amongst NFL players. You know, there's been
some today on Twitter.
Yeah, there's been coordinator Twitter postings where a host of NFL players criticized the league's coronavirus plan or COVID-19. So this is from RotoWorld. It says, more specifically, the league's lack of a plan is what they're worried about. If the NFL doesn't do their part to keep players healthy, there is no football in 2020, were the words of Drew Brees, amongst many others, including J.J. Watt to Russell Wilson. They all took part in this effort. In Watt's post, he said players still do not know how a positive COVID-19 test will be handled or how the league might handle opt-outs. The league is still trying to claim players will report as usual this week, but the number of unresolved critical issues is massive. Now, one of the things I heard this week was that players will have the option by August 1st if they want to opt out of the season. So now I don't know if that's true or not, but can you imagine, like, this is when we talk about roster construction. I know, Tyler, you like to build your rosters deep for depth just in case you have injuries and things like that. So you can imagine, like, a player, like, let's use Carson Wentz, for instance. So in Major League Baseball, we've seen players that have very young children, like Buster Posey. He's got two twins that are very young. And he said, you know what? I'm not playing. I'm not putting them at risk. Well, I think Carson Wentz had a baby not too long ago. It's so good. So if he says, you know what? Like, I'm not playing because I'm not going to put my family and my young child at risk.
Philadelphia like, might win a Super Bowl. I'm kidding.
True. I mean, he could opt out of the season and then, you know, then it's...
Screw it, I'll take it.
You get Jalen Hurts. Like, that could happen. These are the wild things that you just have to be... You're not going to be prepared for it, let's be honest. There's going to be some sort of monumental player that says,
oh, yeah,
I'm not going to play. And for whatever reason. And you know what? That's on them. I'm not going to be mad at them. Like,
no.
If that's what they feel is right to keep their family and themselves safe, like, awesome. That's great. I mean, as much as it stinks in fantasy, like... This is a weird time that we live in. It doesn't matter.
You know what's going to be rough is seeing the Twitter hate for that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, let's say Carson Wentz called it quit. Everybody that drafted him, not everybody that drafted him in the Scott Fishbowl, but let's say 3% of the folks that drafted Carson Wentz in the Scott Fishbowl are going to go out on Twitter and be like, how did you do this to me? I'm going to need you this season. Like, you don't have any right to tell anybody, get out there and play a game.
Be like, it's fantasy football,
and possibly
bro.
Put your family at risk. Yeah, this
yeah.
is...
Like, chill out. It's just a game. It's for fun. It's not, like, be all, end all. I get it. It sucks. Yeah. Like, totally. I understand that. That's why I've been trying to prepare myself with this mindset of, like, I'm starting to get excited. I just finished my Scott Fishbowl draft. You know, we've had our drafts going on. Like, I'm getting excited for fantasy football coming, but part of me is, like... Don't get too excited because you might just get disappointed. So I think that's the important thing is if you have this mindset of like, hey, it's going to be great if the season starts and if we get a full season, awesome. But just know that there's going to be a pretty hefty percentage chance that A, players that you want aren't going to play, B, they're going to get sick, or C, the whole league's going to get shut down because they didn't prepare properly, which sure as hell sounds like that's what's happening in the NFL right now is that they're just being this monster, this cocky monster that's like, hey, you know what? We're just going to do what we do, and we're just going to push on through. And I think it's going to reach ahead with the players, a lot like it's kind of starting to reach ahead like with the NBA and MLB. Yeah. It's going to be a point where it's going to get ugly, and it's going to be interesting to see when that point is. And I think you just have to try to prepare for the things that you don't expect, like as best you can. We don't know what's going to happen, but just know that like, hey, hopefully you got deep rosters, so if we do get a season off, like, all right, well, you know what? Like, if Carson Wentz doesn't play, that stinks, I understand. But, hey, you know what? Maybe I drafted Jalen Hurts in my league, so he'll be my starter now. Or maybe I'm good at quarterback anyway. Like, and just be like, you know what? Try to make the best of it, I think is going
to
be important.
Makes me sick to my stomach thinking of no football. Like, it really does.
Oh, same here. Yeah.
I was thinking about this, like, from multiple levels earlier today. Like, Let's talk about high school football for a second. I know California. There's spots in California they're talking about.
Texas is like nope.
They're just not gonna. They're not going to risk these young men and women's lives, along with their families, along with the coaches and their families, for a game. I know for some high schools with big programs, this brings money into these schools.
Yeah.
You know, the games on Friday nights, Saturday nights, things like that. But. So for those high school players, those kids that were juniors last year going into their senior seasons, they're thinking, hey, I got some attention from, you know, Akron and Toledo, Buffalo, some smaller D1 schools. If I have a big senior season, maybe I get a Notre Dame. Maybe I get an Ohio State come calling. Mm-hmm. Those sort of things. So now you're going to have these kids that would have been in their senior seasons. Maybe there's going to be some sort of like 7-on-7 things that maybe can go off in the spring, but at that point I think it's too late for the colleges. So it's going to be a lot of these kids having to self-promote, put things out there on Twitter. So I would say if you see a young kid throwing a highlight video of himself out there, help him out, throw him that retweet. Maybe it gets to some recruiter somewhere, get some eyes on the guy. For the colleges, I know the Big East is saying they're going to play a conference only schedule.
Yeah, Big Ten as well.
Yeah, if
I think they're going to be even lucky to do that. Like,
yeah,
honestly.
I don't even see that happening. So again, you got these guys that went back for their senior seasons, their junior seasons in college, because they were told that they would have been like a round five, round six pick. You know, the guys that would have been an early pick that decided to stay.
Etienne,
Etienne, Chuba, these sort of guys that would have been at least at worst a third round pick.
Sure.
They're going to maintain their draft stock no matter what. These guys that would have been a fifth or sixth round pick if they had come out, We're hoping to go back, have one more decent season, and maybe bump from the fifth up to the third or the second or something like that. They're not going to get to put anything else on tape. If these colleges get off the ground, how many of these kids are going to go? It's conference only. So you got a Big Ten player. He plays three or four games. He has three or four decent games and says, you know what? I'm good.
Yeah.
Before I have a bad game, before I roll my ankle, before I get COVID, I'm shutting it down. Mm-hmm. I'm walking away. You saw what you needed to see. This is what I've done. Here's my resume. Come get me now.
Yeah.
That's going to do things. And then if college doesn't go, you got the Ivy League schools talking about spring ball. But what does that do with the NFL scouting timeline, the draft, all that sort of thing?
There's going to be a lot of college players are going to sit. I know Ray Garvin, he even said, if they do play in the spring, a lot of players are going to opt out because that is prime for when, the draft happens.
They're working out for the combine and things like
that. And then you got that. And then if they were to play through, still get drafted and being able to play in college, like there's probably going to have to be an accepting, allowing the NFL, allowing college players to do that. Like, okay, if you're drafted, you can still finish the college season. And then, they go right in the training camp next season. I mean, it's nonstop football for those guys.
Trevor Lawrence gets picked at one. Yep. They say you can finish out your season and tears his ACL in the championship.
Yeah. I mean, it's it's mind-blowing to think about. All these situations, it's so mind-blowing. And it's just – I can't even think straight thinking about it because, I get excited about the roster, the week-to-week decisions you have. Like, that excites me. I love – Saturdays, just going through my lineups, okay, that one's good, and then the Thursday night, right before a Thursday night game, I love that, deciding, okay, do I want to start the Thursday night guy or do I want to start Sunday? That is one of my favorite things about fantasy, but it's gonna get more extreme this year because I mean, you could say, okay, I'm gonna start a Sunday guy instead of a Thursday.
Normally you might say, oh, you know what? I'm not starting the Thursday night guy. I'll start the Sunday night guy. But if you have a guy that you know is going to play on Thursday, I'm just going to take the points because what if this guy ends up having a positive test in those 4 days?
And then you hear about the 3 week long period that a player is going to be out for if they test positive.
And they'll be put on the commissioner exempt list as the plan. Yeah. And it doesn't matter how long. It'll just be however long the injury looks like.
Yeah.
And so as a commissioner, you're going to want to put more IR spots for people. You're going to want to make it easier for owners as well, this COVID thing, because if multiple big name players go out, you also need to, as a commissioner, to help these guys still have a decent starting lineup just because they're getting hit with this terrible thing going on. I mean, say you have three.
I think this season's going to come down to more luck than anything.
Yeah. I mean, if you draft a team, like your Scott Fishbowl team, and you have maybe one COVID incident, you're going to walk away feeling pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All those people doing those stacks, what if, you have, four Cowboys and, three of them get it? Bye-bye.
Once somebody on the team gets it, it's going to start running through the team. But I think this is also the most important year to have your handcuffs.
Oh, yeah. Even quarterbacks.
Yeah. It's because while I do agree that if let's say Dak Prescott has a positive COVID test, we know that Zeke already had it, but let's say Dak comes in, has a positive COVID test. It'd be great to have Dalton as long as Dalton also didn't get it. But like Doug said,
he has red hair, remember, he doesn't get it.
That's true. Yeah. COVID doesn't like redheads, but if Dak gets it, Andy Dalton and him are standing beside each other all day in practice. They're sitting in the same quarterback room. More than likely, it's going to run through that room pretty quickly. Most of the people in that room are probably going to get it. So
bring in Cooper Rush off the street.
So I also do want to say, you hear rumors of how much this spreads, but there are scenarios where one person can get it and nobody else around him can. There's going to be incidences where that happens because, I don't want to be all negative here. So say an offensive lineman gets it, There's still a good possibility nobody else that he has touched gets it. I mean,
that would be best case scenario.
And what if they make the linemen, you know, wear masks? You see baseball players wearing it. It doesn't affect your oxygen intake. They've done tests.
I've seen Oakley has they make the visors already. Yeah. They made another face shield that goes in the bottom part of the face mask mm-hmm. that they say will not allow droplets in or out of the mask. But I've also seen guys like J.J. Watt himself saying, whoever created this obviously didn't play football in Southern Texas in August. I've never worn one.
He's also in an air-conditioned stadium, so like yeah. whatever, J.J.
Yeah, but they practice outside and things like that. So it's got to be rough, you know, because again, I've been in full combat gear in a desert with a gas mask.
It's hot.
That sucks.
It's hot.
Yeah. Today, hot. You know, walking into a grocery store or something, having to put a mask on. It's I know I can do it. I've done it before in worse conditions. It stinks. So when you're this football player that's played your entire life without something.
Oh, yeah. Here,
putting something right there, it's more up here than anything, and it's just going to mess these guys
up. Trust me. I mean, I wear my mask every night. I work at a hospital. I have to wear a mask every night. And going up flights of steps, like, there's areas where you can take off your mask, and that, like, some flights of stairs are. So, like, when I'm walking up a flight of steps where I have to wear a mask, it is extremely different from when I have to wear... And when I don't have to wear a mask, like, it's extremely different. The actual breath of air that you can take without a mask is extremely different than with one. But I mean, it's going to happen. There's going to be players that get it. There's going to be players that don't get hurt by it. You know, they're not extremely affected. Maybe they get a fever for a couple of days and then they develop the antibodies. So if we're looking at it in a positive aspect, if a player does get it and he recovers, 2021 looks positive for that guy, because we are not looking at just 2020 for this whole thing. We are looking for 2021. We are looking at 2022. I mean, I've heard there's vaccines, but I mean, we've got to look at this as a long-term thing, and that sucks to even talk about, but
That's why Zeke's the guy.
Zeke is a superhero in this damn fantasy football. That's why I took him at one.
He went out. He sacrificed himself. He got it early so he could get it out of the way. And he could come into the season and say, you know what, fantasy owners? You don't got to worry about me catching COVID. Ruin your lineups.
So, I got you.
Yep.
Tyler talked about, you know, maybe refunding the money to owners, just rolling things over, things like that. How long of a season would you have to have? Would it have to be a complete season? Would it be 6 weeks and you'd be willing to crown a champ? How would you do that? Would it
no, be not, all cr- play not crown would it a champ. Points? I would say 6 weeks for draft order. I mean, if you have 6 weeks and you kind of look at the standings, you should
like
be
half able to, the regular season almost.
Yeah, you should
so
be
how,
able to tell.
How long to you would count it as a season and crown a champ?
I would probably say 8 to 10-ish. Okay. That seems reasonable. I mean, if there's 10 weeks and somebody's like 9-1,
you can also institute an all play record.
That's true.
You could go off that. You could go off total points, things like that. Just ideas for commissioners out there. If you got guys that say, hey, look, we played 8 weeks. I was 7-1, you know, whatever. But you throw up an all play record. Maybe that guy ends up being, you know, 4-3.
We got something like that. Old buddy pal Tim Torch. He says you could do a weighted auction for rookie draft with six.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not a bad idea. It's a great idea, actually, Mr. Torch. So, Tyler, anything less than 8 weeks, you said you're not willing to, you know, crown a champion here. Would you take the trophy you got at TrophySmack.com and have, you know, 2020 champion COVID-19 etched into it?
I don't know if I would champion COVID-19.
Put an asterisk on it, maybe?
I don't know if I'd even put an asterisk. I think if there's no season, I would probably just skip it. I mean, if
oh, it's gonna look so weird on the trophy.
My OCD is gonna go nuts. But
yeah, I can't. I know I can't
but,
do it.
If
it
but I don't if know that I would want it if I won the league. I'd be like, it wouldn't feel satisfying. Like, oh, I won a trophy in it.
I mean, how about this? If you were to have 6 weeks and the season ends, and say you don't want to crown a champion, take that money and put it to charity.
Okay. Fantasycares.net.
Wow, Tim, so your response says you're against charity. Okay, Tim is against charity. I'm totally kidding.
You know what? Let's go. I'm against charity. All of it. No. Big heel turn. The hell was I going to say?
I know, you just turned into NWO Hogan there for a second. So
yeah.
No, I was gonna say something about crowning a champion, putting some. Yeah, I know my home league. We've had this trophy since, 9 years now. Having a missed year on there is just going to look so weird. I'd want to put something on there. Doug said about if, let's say we go 8 weeks, Doug's the points leader, the all-play leader, whatever.
Like that will happen.
You know, we put Doug, the fantasy father, and then an asterisk by his name. You'd say, you know, I don't even know if I'd want it at that point.
I wouldn't feel good about it.
Like this.
Yeah.
The NHL is getting ready to set up a Stanley Cup playoff thing for the top whatever teams that were remaining after they cut short the regular season. Do you think that team that wins the Stanley Cup this year is going to say, hey, we here, you can have it back?
Yeah, but they played almost all the regular season games in NHL. So like,
if you got to week 8 and you were 7-1,
I don't know.
I mean, if
they're also playing a playoff to decide who wins the championship.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be in that position.
I mean, how about
this?
We all
know that like you can be great, but once you make the playoffs in fantasy, you could lose in the first week.
How about this? You guys all play Madden and it decides a championship.
You just sim it out.
I haven't played Madden in so long. I'd be out early.
So,
sim the games every week and then base the fantasy points on how it simmed out.
Yeah, you move the rosters around so those actual players on your fantasy squad are all on one team.
No, no, no. You play
NFL the season
week.
Yeah.
And then you use the stats based on the sim. Mahomes passed for 4 touchdowns, and then you do it that way.
That is not terrible. It would take a lot of work, but it is actually not a terrible idea.
It's in the game, right? Like,
I told my friend. So, I think that if there's no football, I think I have a greater chance at buying Madden. I have bought Madden since 2001.
I skipped it
every year. Every year I've bought it. I've been stuck. So, honestly, I think this year I'm not going to. Unless there's no football. That is...
Well, you have to buy it now in order to sim the season. So you have.
It's not out yet. So...
it'll be out soon.
But no, that's not a bad idea. Like if you're really,
if they don't get the season off the ground, I think I'm taking.
If you're itching for fantasy and there's no season, buy Madden, sim each week on Sunday. Like sim the games when they should happen.
A lot of pen and paperwork.
Sim your Thursday nighter.
That's going to be a lot of paperwork.
I'll do it.
What about a real? What about you know? What would be fun too is if the injuries happen in the game. They happen.
Oh, yeah.
In your team.
But then what are you
going to do? So, like,
everything's got to turn to best ball.
For the year. Like, sorry.
Yep, everything would have to turn to best ball if you go that route. I mean, you can't submit a lineup.
Why?
I mean, you could submit a lineup compared to the injuries. Yeah, I mean, this could work.
They would have to submit
the lineup.
They
already have the schedules out, so you just say, okay. You create spreadsheets to count the stats for the players, you know? Just sim the season out.
It can be,
it still doesn't take the rush out from getting that sleeper alert saying this guy ran for 85 yards and a touchdown.
Week you have a bad week, you're just going to freak out. This stupid game sucks.
And if you wouldn't get hit for copyright, I would love to just like, oh, here's the game of the week, and then just do the announcing over it from a fantasy perspective. That would be awesome.
I mean, it's an interesting idea, but let's... I still think football's going to happen because Roger Goodell won't allow it to not happen.
I think it's going to happen for a little bit, and then it's going to go
set.
Away. Yeah.
My thinking is that we have Keanu Reeves come in, and he becomes a replacement. Now, this just came to me. This
Shane
was not
Falco
a movie or anything.
Jogging onto the field.
I
completely original. A completely original idea.
You get replacement players. You know, one does well.
The guy that can't catch. Gotta have him.
And then maybe he retires and becomes
the Irish kicker that has petting.
Yeah,
pets.
And then maybe he just retires halfway through when the season kicks back off, and he becomes like a fisherman type guy.
Yeah. He lives on a boat. Just know.
With one of the cheerleaders that came. Yeah. Original idea.
I think you're onto something, Tyler. Yeah. I think you're really onto something. So any
but
final thoughts?
It has
thoughts?
To be Keanu.
Yes. Any final thoughts on preparing for COVID-19 with your whether it's your rosters or just anything in general before we wrap up?
I think I would try to do what Tim Torch is doing and stack 8 20 21 firsts. Like he has in the UDPL 2.0.
Yeah. I mean, it's a smart idea, but who knows who's actually going to be in the 2021 class? Like,
hey,
who knows if
Pepperidge Farm remembers
who knows
when
if
Tim
we're
George
alive.
Was in UDPL 1.0.
Who knows if there's going to be an Earth in 2021 with how everything's going.
Apocalypse is nigh, I'm telling you. Yeah. So yeah, you could definitely stack 2021 first if you wanted to. I don't hate that. Stack seconds too; they're cheaper. It's going to be a deep class, supposedly. We'll see what happens. It's just there's just so much unknown that we're stepping into, and so much. It's not going to be shocking for just crazy things to happen this season. So we're just here to tell you, like, try to be as prepared as you can for it.
How about this?
You know, there's going to be. Go ahead.
How about this? Let's enjoy the fact that we actually might see players in pads this week. I mean, we need the NFL to step forward and have a plan. I think they are working hard at making this plan. I know players are saying, you know, we want to play. Mark Andrews has come out saying my type 1 diabetes is not going to stop me from playing. So that's good news. And I mean, if the NFL has a plan, there's going to be football. If they have a plan, there will be football. And let's look at it in that aspect of training camps are starting. They're supposed to be starting. Let's move ahead. Let's say, okay, there is football. Let's trade in our leagues like there's going to be football. Let's look at there's going to be football until we actually hear there isn't. So I want to bring some positive to this whole negative world that we're living in. So let's have
on
football
this week's
happen.
Episode of That's So Minnesotan.
I was going to say that Midwest optimism, you know, this you have two co-hosts that are just East Coast pessimists.
Yeah, shaking
like,
their heads.
The worst is going to happen. Everything's going to burn to the ground.
They've got wet blankets. Wet blankets thrown around everywhere. So, yeah, honestly, like I said, training camp starts this week. Rookies are supposed to report. They're going to get tested first, then come in, report. Quarterbacks, and then the 28th players will come in. The 28th is still 9 days away. So let's look at it in this way. The NFL has 9 days to figure out what the hell they're going to do.
Yeah.
Let's get it done, NFL. You guys have tons of rich, smart people at hand. Let's get it figured out. Let's move ahead. Let's get football going, and let's have a fun, enjoyable season. Let's have something that takes away from all this negativity.
My fingers are crossed all and my toes are crossed and I'm crossing everything. But you know what I'm not crossing? I'm not crossing my balls. And remember to get 20% off and free shipping with the code DHH at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use code DHH. Thank you to them for our sponsorship this week. I'm looking forward to using some of their products and give you like a little test. Maybe we'll pull up a Periscope with live footage. No, just kidding. But I am looking forward
to the weed whacker. The weed whackers. I have the weed whacker already, and that is phenomenal. I mean, if you have some nose hairs are the worst. I have allergies, and man, the allergens get stuck in the nose hairs. That
once you hit over 40, nose and ear hairs are
dude. Yeah. 40. I'm like the oldest 33-year-old then. But I mean, that weed whacker takes your hair out. It goes in, bing bang boom, done.
Bing bang boom, and just like that, bing bang boom. I think we're done. Thank you for listening to Dynasty Happy Hour. If you tuned in on YouTube and Periscope, thank you very much for that as well. Make sure you head over to DynastyHappyHour.com and check out the website. We've got rankings. You can do your own custom rankings on there as well, and you can see multiple different analysts on there and check them out. Make sure you go on iTunes, Google Play, wherever you can get your podcast. Subscribe. Leave a review if you can. Always helps us out. Let us know what you like. Let us know what you didn't like. We're always willing to make changes within reason. So, you know, we're reasonable people. We'll do some new stuff if we have to. Except Tim, he's like, nah, I'm not doing anything new. He's like, I already got a new house. I've got all sorts of new stuff. So Tim's out, but Tyler and I will try and help you out. So once again, thank you for tuning in. This has been Dynasty Happy Hour. We'll see you next week.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH_Tim, Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH@DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.